Are you compassionate towards yourself? What do you do for self-care? How do you show yourself love? Follow Unwrap Wellness on Instagram and visit their website at www.unwrapwellness.com for inspirational content to help you mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Hi, I'm Nicole Ebanks. I'm the host of Soul and Substance, the podcast. I'm also a journalist and a blogger, and I'm going to carry you through conversation where we're going to talk about those in-depth topics, those topics we're all afraid to talk about. I can guarantee you transparency, honesty, and pure realness because the perspectives come from my own, celebrities, locals, and you especially. Soul and Substance starts right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, clap it up for Nicole Ebanks.
Can y'all hear me? He sees me the moment I walk into the room. My stomach dances because I catch him staring at me. I play it off though, can't let anyone know I'm feeling it. He's the last person I greet, and when I do, it's sweeter than any time before. He anxiously gets up from his seat, towering over me, grinning, our arms wrapped around each other, conveying how much time lost between us. It felt good being in his arms again. I slowly begin to pull away, but he holds me tighter, rocking my body to the beat of the music playing around us. Our embrace finally ends with small pleasantries and giddy smiles. As the festivities progress throughout the night, he continues to do his thing while I try to do my own. If only they would stop talking to him and I was more aggressive, things can finally go my way. That a wink from him could possibly turn into a passionate love dance between him and I. Does he hold the same desires in his heart as I do for him? I think of the day he professes his love for me. Our families would celebrate our union, a house full of grandkids, and our subtle differences would no longer be a problem, but will make up the intricate part of our relationship. The music changes, and I'm whisked back into reality knowing that will never happen. I gather my things to go, but dreading his farewell. I'm leaving, but he encourages me to stay. I feel special, but it's not enough to change the situation and consummate us as lovers once and for all. I tell him goodbye. Again, his body conveys what his lips will not as we embrace a final time. If only I can confess my feelings outside the walls of this silent communication. Thank you.
Okay, y'all. Yes. If you remember back in season one, I talked about this day. Back in the episode it was the Valentine's Day episode from season one, where I talk about solo dating. And I had mentioned that I went to an open mic night. You know, there were poetry artists and, you know, writers, comedians, you know, those sharing their art on stage, of course. And at the end of that episode, I talked about, you know, possibly me, you know, going up on stage for open mic night and sharing some of my own work. And so that day has finally come. And it happened last month. And that was just the recording of it that you guys just heard. And I'm going to go and tell you guys the whole story, but that's not the reason why I did it. Of course, you know, like I said, I wanted to share my art on stage. Like, you know, why shouldn't I? You know what I'm saying? Like, even in the episode, I talk about how the host was even pushing me to get on stage. And I was just like, no. Not because only because I didn't have anything to share. But in hindsight, like I mentioned then, you know, why not? Why not share some of my work, right? I am supposed to be there. That's, you know, in a space where, you know, a writer should be. But that's not why I did it. The reason why is that I wanted to get out of my comfort zone. And I felt like on the podcast, you know, it's easy for me to come on here and speak my truth, right? Or interview guests and not feel nervous about it. But of course, when you actually see faces, that anxiety, that nervous energy, I still haven't overcome yet. And I have to get used to it. So I thought, you know, doing something like this would truly challenge me and get me out of my comfort zone. And, you know, living within your comfort zone hinders you from your greatness. And I strongly believe that. And so I really pushed myself to do this so much that it took me months to actually do it. So again, back in January is when I sat down and, you know, attended that open mic night, right? And then the Valentine's Day episode, I confessed that I was going to do something. And so each month there's open mic nights around the DMV area, just like other places, right? So often. But I specifically wanted to go and attend the one at Bus Boys and Poets because of one of the hosts who would host the open mic nights there once a month and at a certain location. And his name is Orville the Poet. And I wanted to go to the one that he went to because I don't personally know him. For other reasons, I know him not directly. But I've seen him, you know, his late mother, I knew of her, you know, she knew of me. And, you know, besides that, like his aura, just the person who he is and his art, I just felt like that would give me some type of connection to do it when he's there. So because of that and the location, this open mic night was once a month and it happened every third Thursday of each month. And I said that, okay, I would do this. So it took March. March came and went. I didn't do it. April, I said, okay, April, the third Thursday in April, I'm going to do it. But no, because, and you may think I'm making up an excuse here, but because I had just transitioned into my new job, I completely forgot about it. Then came, you know, May. I was like, all right. But I never prepared for it. And again, time went and it was not a priority for me. Even though deep down inside, I knew I have to do this. Then June came and went. And I honestly didn't remember until I told a friend. I was talking to a friend of mine. And, you know, she was just like, you got to do this. You know, and I even challenged another friend. It was like, you know, when I had told her, you know, this is something that I would want to do at some point, and I was like telling her, like, well, if I do this, you got to do something too. But it's not, I didn't want it to be like, you know, I do it and then you not, you know, I have to, if only you do it, then I do this. No. I honestly wanted to do this to get out of my comfort zone. And the friend who was like, you got to do it. You know, I'll put it down in my calendar, but you have to do it. You know, the next go round, when the month comes, you have to go for it. There's no excuses, you know, even practice it. And that was one thing I wasn't doing. I wasn't practicing because it wasn't a, although it was a priority, it was something I wanted to do, I didn't make it into my schedule. I didn't see it as, because again, it was still scary. It was still fearful, like getting on stage, like that's just, you know, it was just scary. But I just knew it was something that I had to do only because unbeknownst to me, the beginning of the year or right before New Year's, I had written down a list of goals for 2022. You know, some of you may be listening, you've done the same thing. But I specifically wrote down things that I would do. And even in that context, like, I will, you know, like if I were to say, I will work out every day. I said, I want to get out of my comfort zone this year. And I forgot all about that. That was the one goal for this year that I forgot once the new year started and we progressed throughout the year. The first quarter of 2022, all over social media, out of the words of people, just, or, you know, written down somewhere, or I just saw it in passing, the word comfort zone was plain as day. Either get out your comfort zone, or your comfort zone is, you know, what's holding you back in life. Something comfort zone was always popping up, no matter what, in my life that first quarter. And it was a reminder so much of how much I have to live my life outside of that. Because again, I forgot I had wrote it down. There was no, it was a sign to God, like, yo, you wrote this down. This is what you need to do. This is what's, you must do. You must get out your comfort zone. And not only for this open mic night, because again, I didn't know I was even gonna go to open mic night and this would be the result of this. But me getting out of my comfort zone, I knew that there are spaces that I am gonna be in. Okay, I can tell you guys this confidently. There are spaces I'm going to be in that this area of my life with public speaking, as much as I love talking to people one-on-one, interviewing people, love speaking to y'all, when you are in a public space and you see blank faces that you have no idea what they are thinking, their mannerisms, their body language is the only thing that is telling to you, that is scary. I don't care. I don't care what anyone tells me. And the fear of that, each time that possibility comes up to me, it is, it has a hold on me and I don't like it. But I knew that this is something that I have to conquer. It's one step closer to fulfilling my purpose. And I felt like if I could do this, then, you know, something else would be even easier. So again, the third Thursday of July came along and I was committed to saying, this is what's going to happen. If it doesn't happen this time, I'm just going to forget it. So the week of, literally days to that Thursday, I had to book my ticket to go, like, even, so it was Busboys and Poets. For those of you who are not from the DMV area, it is like a, it's a quaint little spot. It has books and, you know, food as well. And then sometimes they host events, you know, depending on what it is, but it's usually like a poetry thing or like a, you know, like even some, committee meetings or like public forums, stuff like that will be held there. Just to give you an idea, but it's a quaint little space and, you know, it has like vegan options, you know, just a cute little vibe. And so it's, you know, a few chains in a DMV area. So leading up to it, I had to book to actually go to this event, not to secure my spot to be on stage, but to actually have a ticket to go, right, to this open mic night. And even that was like a struggle because I was like, I might talk myself out of this. I don't even think I want to do it. But anyhow, I booked it. So I told a very few close friends of mine. And I told them, I was like, look, hey, on Thursday, I'm going to be doing this. If you can come, great. If not, I totally understand. And I remember leading up to texting them or even text drafting the message before I press sent. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this, only because I didn't want to put my friends in a position where if I decided not to do this, that they would have wasted their money or wasted their time where they could be doing anything else on a Thursday night. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to waste their time, so I was very hesitant on saying anything, but I went ahead and did it anyway because I knew that that would solidify everything. Once I told my friends, that would be a done deal. There's no turning back. So they bought their tickets. And so, or, you know, I knew of one who was coming, but, the rest, you know, of course I had an idea that she would come. You know, there's still a possibility because it is a work night or whatever. Cool. So leading up to it, my stomach is rumbling, but, I would practice, you know, I would at work, I would, you know, speak it over and over and go over my piece and what I wrote. And this was a piece that I wrote, back in 2015 and, just a few years ago, I think during the pandemic or right before I had revised it and really worked on it some more. So it sounded good. Even to me, it sounded really good. I even posted it online at one point last year and, you know, people were really responding to it. So I felt secure in that it was something that was, people would receive on stage, but still, you never know. So I'm practicing it, but still it's like my mind would always go back to imagining being on a stage and you don't know how you're going to be received, how people are going to take in what you have to say on stage. And you're just seeing blank faces. And the open mic night that I went to, they had just opened up back in January when I went, they just opened up that location. So it was hardly anybody there. So all I kept thinking was like, oh man, the location I'm going to, it was in Hyattsville, Maryland. I was like, please let it be hardly anyone there. But I just knew, just because, you know, the area tends to be, you know, it was like right off of near like the University of Maryland. Like I was like the possibility of people just coming. It was pretty, pretty likely. So I knew I would have a crowd. So all of that, I was just thinking in my mind. So the day comes and again, I'm nervous, but I'm trying to calm myself down. And like, I don't know, like even something happened at work where there was some negativity that came my way. It was just after that, I had a great day. Not to say at work, because at work, some new employee had shared something with me that they were going through and I was speaking life into her. And in the midst of that, negativity just came and tried to ruin that moment, right? But when I stepped away, you know, I went to my other job and kind of just sat, you know, kind of erased that whole situation out of my mind. It was just this peace of mind and joy that I had the rest of the day. And I believe that part of it is God. But also when I fixed in my mind, like, look, you're going to have negativity in your life no matter what. But you have a goal today that you are going to conquer. Don't let this situation deter you from that. You are going to get out your comfort zone. You are growing as a woman. This is a great opportunity for you. So please, you know, just fix your mind on what's going to happen tonight and how beneficial everything's going to work out. And I, again, although I was, you know, nervous, I felt great. Like I really did. Like it, you know, I just had this good feeling, you know, before I left to, you know, go to the event. You know, I changed into my outfit and, you know, I was starting to get insecure. My girlfriend was like, girl, you look great. Keep on. I had a nice little two-piece number, all black, you know, crop top. I was feeling myself with my bob and everything. And I was good. Put on a little light makeup. And I'm telling you, doing the minimal thing can truly boost your mood. And so all of that kind of helped ease me. But as I'm driving, and y'all, I don't even know how I got there without getting a crash or anything, because driving to the event, I had to, you know, have the GPS on. I didn't know where I was going from where my starting location was, but I was just repeating the story that I was gonna, you know, recite or perform on stage, and I just kept repeating it over and over again, and just, you know, having all the right inflection, the right tone in certain parts, and you know, I was just feeling it in the car. I was doing my thing and I was just trying to remember all that I can memorize beyond looking at a paper. So thankfully I got to the spot, and that's when my nerves really kicked up. And then as I'm walking up to the event, there's other people who are walking there too. I'm like, oh gosh, more people. And you hear this one girl, when I was walking up to the door, I heard this one girl tell her friend, was like, this is my first open mic night. And I was like, oh gosh, of course she would come to first. Her first time would be when I'm showing up, right? Anywho, of course, when you're nervous, you have to use the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom, do number one. I'm nervous. I'm just like, why am I here? I want to leave. So I get there and I'm rushing inside the event. So it's a whole restaurant, but there's a separate area where they hold the open mic night, right? And I go into that area so fast that the person who's supposed to take my ticket is like, hold on, hold on, hold on. Girl, see y'all, that's the struggle, how nervous I was. She's like, hold up, hold up, do you have a ticket? And so, of course, you know, I exchange that information and I go to find my seat. Y'all, people had filled up the back so much, you know, all the tables were full in the back, that I had no choice but to sit up front. But thankfully, on the right side, there was a nice little booth that was paired with a table, you know, in the middle of the flooring. So I just, you know, carried myself in the, put myself down in that little booth area right in the corner up front, very close to the stage, I might add, and I settled right there. But before I sat down, I saw the clipboard where they have the list of names to sign up to perform that night. And when I tell you, things have never gotten so real for me to when I wrote down Nicole Ebanks on that sheet of paper. And I was upset that a lot of people took up, like, I was number 11 on the list, number 11 or 12. And I was like, oh man, I have to, you know, be almost the last person. But they had slots 1 and 2 that were open. Do you think I was going to be the one to put my name there? Please. I was like, I'd rather sit here till they close tonight than be the first person up there. No. But let me tell you how hard it was. Besides knowing that I would have to wait, it was, you know, just, I'll get into that part. So again, I settled down on my seat eventually. And as I'm sitting down, my good friend, one of my closest friends, Chelsea, she comes up and, you know, we hug each other. And it was just so great to see her. And she's looking at the menu. She's like, how are you feeling? You know, I'm talking to her. And then they're just about to start. Or I think they just started. And the host, Orville, he starts, you know, talking about the rules of the night and how, you know, we should respect each other as artists, and whoever comes up here has a right to be here, and we should respect what they have to share on stage. As he's talking, my good friend and another close friend of mine, my girl Kim, she comes through, and she comes over, and we're all sitting together. And just having them there, although I'm not gonna lie, having familiar faces with me, I didn't want to, not, and I know I would never disappoint my friends, because they're just not people like that. Like, I know they love me no matter what. But I wanted this to be worth their while, but also I wasn't sure how they would think once I got up there. You know, I don't know how to explain it. It's something about, and even the host said it, it's difficult for you to share your truth in public, but it's a little easier when it's strangers involved. And so I don't know, but again, I loved having them there, and I don't take, you know, I don't take away from them not being there, but I just didn't want to, I didn't want them to feel like this is what we came for, just a little bit. I didn't want that, but I know they would never think that way. I know they would never think that way about me. So again, throughout the night, the event officially starts, and then, you know, different poets, great artists, by the way, they come up. But y'all, one after the other, as they were just going through, it is the most hardest thing, to sit down, knowing that you're going to be the next person at some point to be up on stage. It is the most hardest thing to sit through performances because, being honest, I don't even know, can look back and say I knew exactly what some pieces were about. Because all I kept thinking about was like, okay, I'm going to have to walk up these set of stairs. Then I'm going to have to stand up in front of the mic and I'm going to see people. And then I'm going to have to say something. Like, I would always think, and based off of how some performances went, I would think like, oh, am I going to be like them? Am I going to be able to speak loud enough? And that was one of my biggest fears. Growing up, I've always felt like, you know, I was always quiet. I was always shy. So whenever it came to public speaking, I felt like no one could ever hear me. So that was my biggest thing. And I would hate for people to always say, like, speak up when you're trying to build that confidence. So that was something I'd always think about. But again, it was just torture. And I please bless the waitress at Busboys that night, because she came to our table so many times, but specifically for me, because I didn't order anything. My friend Kim, she didn't order anything either. But she, for some reason, I felt like that waitress was so over me, because every time she came there, I would always say no because I had no appetite. I was too nervous. But, eventually I stopped. I lost count based off of how many people went. Like, I knew I was either number 11 or 12. But still, it's like, you know, your mind just like, I don't know when I'm going to be. And then, he would take some momentary break to kind of the host would take a break to feature his own pieces. And then, although they were great, again, it was like, okay, you're eating up the time where I can get this over with. Like, that's all I kept thinking about until the time came. And he said, everyone, please welcome Nicole Ebanks to the stage. When I walked up, again, I had to, because I was so much in the corner of where my seat was, I had to go around the table, then I had to turn back around and go up a set of stairs, walk behind. Like, it was just, again, I'm making it more than what it was. When I finally walked up on the stage, and, you know, your knees are buckling, it's like, okay, here we go. And I walked up on stage and near the mic, and he fixes the mic for me. And I just see this sea of people. It was like, wow, Nicole, you're really here. You're really, really here. It's like, because something like that in the past would take someone else pushing me to do it. Like, as early as I can remember, like back in 2019 at church, I remember someone asked me to do the scripture reading, right? And they would push me to, you know, they were like, oh, Nicole, do you mind doing it? And my initial answer would have been no, right? But then they kept saying like, oh, you know, we need somebody out here. And then I said yes. I have never said that, yeah, I'll do it. I'll get up on stage and say whatever. This is the first time that I set out to say, I'm going to go on stage and perform something. I'm going to say something. And it's not on behalf of someone else. It's my work that I am saying out loud. You know, you have all the comfort in the world where it's just you and your artistry. It's you and whatever you worked on, or it's you and your representation of yourself. It's just you, right? You're the only audience. But when you push yourself to say, I'm going to do this and do something completely out of your norm, completely out of your comfort zone, it's amazing. And again, when I stood up there and I saw the sea of people before I started talking, it was like, wow, Nicole, you really made it. You're really here. And then, you know, I checked to see if people could hear me, because again, that was my biggest fear, that nobody would hear me. And of course, I heard this roar of people saying, yes, you know, we can hear you, you're fine, whatever. But when I started speaking, you know, the hardest thing is saying something. But once I started going, and then, you know, I was looking at people, and, you know, I was saying what I could say. When I finally finished, I was like, oh, thank you, God. But I felt kind of comfortable up there. I did. Like, as much as I was ready to run off the stage, it felt good. Like, I remember faces. It was one on the left side of me. It was a guy who performed. And then this lady at the bottom, she was sitting down. And their eyes were so fixed on me, but they were nodding. Yes, like they could really feel what I was saying. They were into the story that I was telling. A few smiles from them, and other people too. Like, again, I took in, you know, all that I could take. You know, my girls to the left of me, they were recording the whole, you know, the whole performance for me. That was just beautiful to see their support. But it was like, wow, Nicole, you actually did this, you know. And as I sat down, you know, the adrenaline is still so high at that point. Like, you know, it takes a while for you to truly calm down once you do something out of your comfort zone, do something that major. But, y'all, I had a friend. She couldn't make it, but she asked me, in one word, how could I explain that night, that feeling, how, you know, that performance? And to be honest, I couldn't answer her because I didn't know. I was just, I didn't know what to feel. It almost felt like, after the fact, it felt natural to the point where it's like, huh, this wasn't a big deal anymore. Meaning, like, yes, it was a major thing for me. It was a accomplishment for me. But I think because deep down inside, this is something I'm meant to do. It's natural for me that it almost, once I did, it was like, oh, okay, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I did it. Okay, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, when you start, again, when you live outside of your comfort zone, something that's meant for you, it's not going to be as big of a deal. It's going to be like, oh, why wasn't I doing this sooner? Because we build up this fear, build up this anxiety towards something, being out of our comfort zone so much that when it finally happens, it's as if, you know, nothing was ever different than that. Like, you've always done this before. It's just been some time. You know what I mean? If I can explain it. Like, I don't know. But again, I just felt so liberated too. Like, I felt liberated. Like, days after I would think about it, and I was just so proud of myself. So, so, so proud of myself. Like, really and truly. Because again, no one said, Nicole, do this and it should help you with public speaking. No, I set out to do that. And I am just so proud of myself. I still am. But standing there, like I said, I'm like, you know what? It opened so many doors for me because it was like, yo, I accomplished this. What's next? What's next? Let's go bigger. And, you know, I think that's all that I needed. Again, more opportunities like this I need to, you know, take on. And I will. So that's not a problem. But it fueled this desire and this new attitude in me. I don't know what it is. And even weeks later now, I just have this new chip on my shoulder. Like, I don't know, like, I just want to do everything that's big now. And it took was that step, that, you know, one thing to do that some may think that it's simple or small, but to me, it was the one thing that I needed. And I am just so glad, y'all. And I shout out my girls, Chelsea and Kim. Y'all, I thank you guys so, 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 so much. Thank you so much for coming. Still to this day, your support meant so much to me that night. Trust me. Thank you so much. To the rest of y'all who knew, I love y'all and I appreciate you dearly. Again, I didn't tell many people on purpose, but I am sharing my story now, so please don't feel slighted. But yeah, I will say, you know, y'all get out your comfort zone. Life is just too short. And I know we're, you know, tired of hearing this whole life is too short thing, but it's true. You know, get out your comfort zone, do the things that, and I'm not saying that your comfort zone has to be something extravagant or towards your goals. But if you, like, suppose you're, I don't know, you always take trips by plane, but you would never go on a road trip. Why not? Why not? You know what I mean? Try it. Or maybe it's, you would never find yourself speaking to a guy, going hollering at a guy. You want him to come to you first. This now may be the time. Might be missing out on your blessing, or, you know, whatever it is. Or it could be, again, what I did, going up on a stage and saying something, or going up and asking for a raise, speaking up for yourself. You know, whatever comfort, whatever is that thing that you think about, but you're like, I don't know, or I would do it, but no, because of A, B, and C reason. Do it. Get out your comfort zone. Do it. I mean, why not? Like, again, this is a goal that I forgot I even had on paper, but yet I accomplished it. And look at me now. Like, I already have other things that, yo, I'm going to do it. And I, again, it's the confidence for me. The confidence for me in my own self. Y'all, it's amazing. So please, check out the video on YouTube, on social media, which you should be following, Soul and Substance on Instagram, and definitely see what getting out your comfort zone can do for you. So now that we talked about it, I know someone had asked me, would I do this again? And I can honestly say, It's not about what, but when. When will you get out of your comfort zone? I love you and I mean it. Peace.
Soul and Substance was produced by Nicole Ebanks. The Soul and Substance theme song was produced by Lawrence Ebanks. If you would like to ask for advice or leave comments, send an email to soulandsubstance25@gmail.com. For blog posts, visit soulandsub.wordpress.com and follow us on Instagram at soul.n.substance. That's soul.n.substance.